This morning, I wasn't intending on visiting this topic yet. According to the calendar, it's not until next week. But I thought it was very appropriate with what I was reading and where I found myself going and the Lord leading. But the call of the Christmas King. And we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. And just after the nativity of our Savior, and you find in the book of Matthew, you have all these names in chapter 1. Genealogy. How many of you have memorized the genealogy? Not too many. How many of you just simply go by that genealogy and move on to chapter 2? Well, the thing about the genealogy in chapter 1 of Matthew is that it shows the lineage of Jesus. And that Jesus wasn't just of, we want to say, the chosen race, of Abraham's race, of the Jewish race, but he was of the lineage of a prostitute, of a murderer, of an adulterer. That God works through all in any circumstances to fulfill his plan. So when you look at chapter 1 in Matthew, and you look at the genealogy, I encourage you to go back and visit that genealogy and see what is there, because we have Rahab. Rahab. We have Ruth. We have King David. We have these people that our society would simply toss aside and say they're no good. That no good can come out of them. But yet Jesus took David, who was a king who had everything. And because he had everything, he wasn't satisfied. So he had to have absolutely everything, and took another man's wife and put him to death. He used a murderer, an adulterer, whom he said, a man after my own heart, was said of David. Incredible. The call of the King of Christmas comes through this lineage. And we find ourselves in chapter 2, verse 1. And this is what the scripture says. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so I too can go and worship him." After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they, the wise men, returned to their own country by another route. After they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream. saying, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child and to destroy him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken of by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they were no more. You know, Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Each Christmas, thousands of people flock to Bethlehem to remember, refresh, and give respect to Jesus. Bethlehem was the birthplace of the greatest gift our world will ever know. In Bethlehem, true life was given birth. Bethlehem represents the place of redemption. It also represents a place of great death. King Herod, outwitted by wise men from the east, gives orders to kill all the male children in and around Bethlehem of 2 years of age and younger. He has been told that the new prophetic king of Israel has been born. The stars in the sky confirm the fact. Your kingdom will be undone. To protect his throne, King Herod orders the death of young males in and around Bethlehem. The prophet Jeremiah speaks of this day in Jeremiah 31:15. This is what the Lord says. A voice was heard in Ramah, a lament with bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Bethlehem is known as a place of death, not as a place of life. Bethlehem is the place where Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, dies in childbirth. Rachel names the boy Benoni, son of my sorrow. Jacob renames the boy Benjamin, son of my right hand. Predictive. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, was known as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. Jesus is also the Son of God's right hand, Acts 5:31 and Hebrews 1:3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. God exalted this man to the right hand as ruler and savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. See, Bethlehem is a place where captives were taken as Jerusalem fell to the hordes of Assyria because of unrepentance and a refusal to follow God in his ways. Jeremiah weeps, Rachel weeps, and Jesus weeps. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6. Jesus says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go in search for the stray? Jesus is born in Bethlehem to redeem it and make it a place of life. Everyone has a Bethlehem waiting to be redeemed. Everyone is Bethlehem waiting to be redeemed. Who are and what is your Bethlehem? Because of Jesus' coming, there would be spiritual deliverance for Israel and the establishment of David's throne and kingdom. God moves into the neighborhood. It's good news. God gave the promise that one day Israel would be once more restored to their land. Jeremiah 31:16-17. This is what the Lord says: keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for the reward for your work will come. This is the Lord's declaration. And your children will return from the enemy's land. There is a hope for your future. This is the Lord's declaration. And your children will return to their own territory. But he also gave an even greater promise that Israel would be regathered and his kingdom established, a covenant of promise, Jeremiah 31:31. Look, the days are coming, this is the Lord's declaration, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Bethlehem represents a place of calling and for those that are called. It is a place of death and a place of life. It is the place of humanity's rebirth, its new life. Hebrews 9:15, therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Jesus was called by the Father to do his will, to lay down his life, to give humanity new life. Jesus was willing to be sent and give life to the dead and call into existence things that do not exist, Romans 4:17. You see, Bethlehem was dead, but was brought back to life. You and I are Bethlehem. We were dead, but we have been brought back to life in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives life and calls things into life that do not exist. All of us have been called or invited from a place of death to a place of life. It's our choice. The called out ones are the separated ones. The problem is that we like to blend in. We don't want to stand out from the crowd, typically. As a Christ follower, we are called to stand out, to come out from the crowd. In the crowd, we tend to develop a groupthink or a mob mentality. One does it, we all do it. Is it easier to be the dissenting voice or the complementary voice? We all want to be liked and accepted, so we capitulate to the groupthink or the mob mentality. Thing is Jesus never capitulated to the groupthink or the mob mentality. Think about that. He never did. He came out of Egypt as God the Father brought Israel out of Egypt through Moses. Egypt is the groupthink world. It is the place where everyone becomes one. It is the place where one is molded and formed to follow another kingdom, a foreign kingdom with foreign principles, ethics, values, and morals opposed to God. It's a place of comfort, ease, safety, and security. A place where one can get lost and lose their identity. See, Israel, even though they had to make, slave labor, they had it pretty good in Egypt. So much so that when they were being led out to the wilderness, what did they do? They complained. They complained. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Why? Because it was pretty good back then. They started to lose their identity. And God started talking through Moses about who they really were. The road marked with self-desires and ungodly temptations is Egypt. It is the place where God called Israel out from, his son Jesus and us, his prodigal sons and daughters. We are called out of Egypt. Jesus was called out of Egypt, and he was also sent into Egypt. Why? So that he could fully identify with our plight. Just as Israel was sent into Egypt and called out, Jesus did so to redeem Israel fully, to redeem us fully. Israel went into Egypt to be safe, to have security, to be provided for. And God sent them there and used that situation to provide for his people. But then they started to forget God. They forgot what he did for them. And so then he raises up Moses to lead them out, to cause them to remember who they are, what their identity is. He calls them out to be separated, to stand above the crowd, to be different. Bethlehem is man's birthplace, the place of death, born under the curse of sin and death. Jesus was born under the same curse of sin and death as we were, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Jesus goes into Egypt. He's ordered. His parents are ordered to take the child into Egypt, into that world. And then he's brought out of that world. It's symbolic. He operated, that whole world before Jesus operated under the old covenant, where you had to come to the temple every day, you had to sacrifice every day, but nothing was completely made clean. Atonement continually had to be given. But Jesus had to fully identify with our plight in every way. So that when he comes and he dies on the cross, he gives power to the manger. He gives power to the manger. Jesus was born under the curse of sin and death by the power of the Holy Spirit, led into Egypt, the wilderness, to live with men as a man, experiencing all that men experience and do. But then Jesus was called out of Egypt to establish the new covenant. He calls us out with him to find a new kingdom established through a new covenant by Jesus' shed blood and resurrection. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, he knew you. He called you. He called each one of us. So we have been invited to Jesus, to his kingdom, to his works. We have been given a holy invitation. And the question is, have we accepted it? Are we living it? Are we leaving Egypt? Have we left Egypt? Or are we heading back to Egypt? Or are we heading to Bethlehem to see the King of Christmas? Redemption. New life. You and I have been called out of Egypt to experience new life, to share this new life and the new covenant of Jesus with others, and to bring others out of Egypt to Bethlehem. Am I doing the work? Am I following Jesus' steps? To be hunted like Jesus by Herod is a good thing, because it means we're not living in Egypt and we're on our way to Bethlehem. It means we haven't lost our way. Jesus will provide all we need to outwit the Herods of this world. Amen? Pastor Warren Wiersbe has said, a person is identified not only by his friends, but also by his enemies. Isn't that interesting? Who are my enemies? Who is my true friend? So come to Bethlehem and see the one who gives you life from death this Christmas. This is the call of our Christmas King, Jesus. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to establish life over death. Jesus was called out of Egypt to show life to the dead. Jesus brought power to the manger that existed in sorrow through his death on the cross. He now proclaims life at the right hand of God the Father. Life is at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus. Jesus' friends live his life to share his new covenant of life. We are to lead the way to Bethlehem out of Egypt. The covenant and power of the manger was established through obedience, and Jesus' call out of Egypt was enforced through his death and resurrection on the cross. The covenant was enforced by the death of Jesus on the cross. What power, marvelous power there is in the manger. We tend to celebrate Easter, that tends to be the bigger celebration for some reason, but I'm the opposite. I celebrate Christmas more. Why? Because without the birth of Jesus, there's no death and resurrection. There's now power in the manger. The covenant is enforced by Jesus' death on the cross. We worship at the manger because Jesus answered the Father's call, the need to bring us out of Egypt and give us new life. Amen? Amen. One of our Christmas carols that you maybe sing at Christmas time, it's, what child is this who laid to rest? Or else known as Greensleeves. The words are this. What child is this who, laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Think about that song. The theology and the truth that is in there. Raising the power of the manger. Who is this babe, this child, who laid on Mary's lap? It is Christ the King. Christ the King, who sets us free. In Jesus' name we pray.